so excuse me. I want to share with you the story of Ruth, but spoiler alert, you just heard the ending. It's okay. Is there a different story anybody wants to hear this morning? I want to focus, just like Debbie did, on the idea of generosity, because as we talk through this series about seeing things differently, and we live in a nation, quite honestly, it's divided on everything you can think of. Okay, for instance, the color of this carpet. Is it purple, or is it blue, or is it red? We'll divide on that. That I've seen churches split because they were trying to decide what color the carpet was, not even what color to get. It happens. But all around us in society, people are taking sides. And you can't just have a side anymore. What we're taught is that you need to hate the other side. And so again, trying to work through that and say, as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, what is our witness in the midst of, you know, division? What is our witness when we do disagree with someone? I think generosity can be transformative in the way we relate to other people. I think generosity can sometimes help us take that first step in changing our relationship with someone else. I think generosity models something to others that isn't expected and that is different. And so the story of Ruth, again, as Debbie shared with the children, it is a perfect story to look at because we have so many accounts of generosity in it. I'd like you to keep track as we go through. But I want to do a modern retelling of the story. And I'm going to make it through. Now, Naomi was an old woman that had come to America because of hardship in her home country. She and her husband and her two sons and their wives moved to America to try and make a new and better life for themselves. Elimelech, Naomi's husband, had died, and she was left with her two sons and their wives. And after they had lived here in the States for about 10 years, both of her sons died also. Naomi was left without her sons or her husband. All they had was an apartment they could no longer afford and some property on which they hoped to build a home. One wife had decided that she would return to the country she came from, that it would be easier to go back and live there, and that was really her only option. Naomi said to her other daughter-in-law, she said, "Ruth, do the same. There's nothing for you here. There's nothing for me here. There's no hope here. Go back and make a life in the country that you came from." And Ruth, instance number one of generosity, said, "No. I'm going to stay here because there's got to be some way I can help you, Naomi. I'm going to stay here in America, and we're going to stick to the plan that we had. And I don't have a husband anymore, and neither do you, but I'm going to find a way to care for you." And so Ruth set out to do just that. She looked around and said, "Where can I find the most wealth in America? Would it be A, Microsoft founder Bill Gates? Would it be B, Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos? Or would it be C, the owner of the Chicago Bears?" Appropriately enough, the owner of the Chicago Bears is in last place in that category. Turns out it was Jeff Bezos and Amazon, and Ruth said to herself, "I can get into Amazon somehow and certainly make enough to help support Naomi." And so what she did was she followed around as she walked the streets each day looking for some scrap of food to get by, trying to think of a way that she could earn an income to help support both herself and her mother Naomi. She followed the delivery trucks. The delivery truck drivers continued to see Ruth when they were dropping off packages. In fact, sometimes she would approach them and she'd ask, did they have any food with them? Did they have any goods that maybe could help her? And they always said no, but eventually they reported this to their managers. After this happened enough times, their managers reported it to the large area distribution center for Amazon's regional manager named Boaz. So Boaz heard that there was this lady, Ruth, who continued to follow around the Amazon trucks in hopes of the drivers having any food or maybe a good they were delivering that they could share with her. And Boaz did what we would all do today. She's a porch pirate. Have her thrown in prison. That's not how the story goes. That's how we would have reacted. Not Boaz. He instructed all the drivers in that area, when you're out on your runs, you are to bring with you extra food. You are also to take from the inventory of our extremely large regional distribution center something, something that might be of value to her. I don't care if it's been ordered or not. You bring an extra something that might be of value and accidentally leave it as you're going about your delivery routes. And so they did. They had maybe an occasional extra coat, or a blanket, or a pair of shoes, and they always seemed to have food that would get left behind. And Ruth would take this, and she would help Naomi and herself. Now, Boaz, again the manager of the regional distribution center, frequently spent his evenings in the following manner. Eating a late dinner, after taking care of all his responsibilities, and watching SportsCenter alone. It's a good life, mind you, because SportsCenter is where it's at. But slightly lonely, but every night, this was his routine. Take care of all his responsibilities for the day, finish all the charts and get the numbers together, be ready for the next day, eat dinner, and watch SportsCenter alone. The next day, the drivers would go out, they'd have a little extra food, and maybe an extra good that would conveniently be left. Ruth would find it. They came back and they said how Ruth seemed to be enjoying this and benefiting from it, and her countenance was happier, and they'd even talked with her a bit, the drivers, and heard about how she was supporting not only herself, but her mother. And they told this to their managers. And their managers eventually got word back to Boaz, and Boaz said, well, this is a noble person, this Ruth. She's doing a good thing. I can help her out. So he asked one of the drivers, when you're done with your deliveries for the day, would you mind giving Ruth a ride? Please don't put her in the cargo area. Just let her sit up front and bring her back that I can talk with her. And he said, we need somebody. And this is a very, very large warehouse because it is one of our regional distribution centers, of which I am the manager. But we need somebody to help take care and to help organize and to help clean. And I'd be willing to let you do that. And here's the thing. It doesn't pay a lot. But it does come with an apartment because this is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It never stops. And boy, wait till we hit the holidays. Boaz said, so, it doesn't pay a lot, but since it's constantly open, one of the perks of holding this job is we have small apartments that we'd let you live in. And I know you're caring for Naomi, too, and she can live in the apartment with you also. So for the time, would that be a workable solution? Ruth was excited. She was beside herself. She was going to have a little bit of an income she had been provided for to get to this point, and there would be some place for her to stay. Well, it wasn't a large apartment. It wasn't grand by any means. It might not even be a long-term solution, but this Boaz guy, he had been great. He was helping her out, and she was appreciative. Did her best, helped take care of the warehouse, went back to her little apartment with Naomi each night, and was so grateful. Now, Naomi said, I have an idea, Ruth. We're going to join a dart league. Just kidding. That wasn't the idea. She said, this Boaz guy, word around the streets is that each night he eats a late dinner and watches SportsCenter by himself. And Ruth said, ooh, SportsCenter. Naomi said, listen, Ruth, I want you to go ahead and put your best clothes on. I want you to go ahead and put a little perfume and a little makeup on. And Ruth said, that is appropriate for watching SportsCenter only during football season, Naomi. I see where you're going. She said, just, yes, great. Why don't you do that, Ruth? And then why don't you make a dessert and take it over to Boaz some evening? And so Ruth said, okay. And she took a dessert, and she wore her nicest clothes, her perfume, the makeup, and everything else, and she walked in just as they were showing the many, 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 many highlights from the recent Vikings game. And she sat down next to Boaz, who didn't even notice because he was tuned in to the offense that is Minnesota. And she tried to make small chat, and he wasn't being rude. He was just giving due respect to the review of the game. And so Ruth looked over, and when he had maybe had a drink or two, which isn't recommendable, but he had, she slid over dessert. And she said, why don't you try this? And Boaz said, dessert? And he tried it, and it was delicious. And he looked at her and he said, Ruth, tell me your story. And he learned about the country that she had left. And he learned about the hardships she had faced. And he learned about the losses she had suffered. And he thought about how he didn't even know this person. And she wasn't even from his own country. And there was really no reason that she could find that he had been so generous, and there was really no reason he could think of that he should be helping her, except it felt right, and she appreciated it. And he said, well, tell me, Ruth, what's the grand plan? Where are you headed? I mean, I'm glad I can help you for a season, but where are you going? What are you going to do? And he learned that she had nothing except Naomi and the plot of land that they had hoped someday to build a house on. And he was saddened to hear that she thought the only thing she could do was sell that plot of land that while the family was here they had worked for so that she too could return back home with Naomi. That was the only future they saw. And he said, I can do something about it. Now, you've probably heard of Jeff Bezos, owner of Amazon, very wealthy man, right? She's like, yeah. He said, well, rightfully, he would have the money to purchase that land. And that would get you enough to send you back to your home country. And she said, yeah. And then he came up with a plan. Boaz went to Jeff Bezos and he said, you have enough money that you could buy out this land, and long story about Ruth and her family, but would you spot me just enough that I could purchase that land and then some, because I would really love to make an impression on this young lady, Ruth. You should taste her desserts. Jeff Bezos, being the reasonable guy that he was, and having been through a pretty terrible divorce, said, listen, buddy, if you can make it work, good for you. Here's a little bit extra. Buy her that land and a little extra land. And so Boaz did. And here's how it reads, which will almost match up with my story. In Ruth chapter 4, when Boaz went to purchase that land, Ruth chapter 4, starting in verse 9, then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, and let's just say the other Amazon employees, today you are witnesses that I have bought from the property that belonged to Ruth and Naomi. I have also, because of ways and customs that were popular in the Old Testament that are no longer applicable today, acquired Ruth the Moabite as my wife in order to maintain the name of the dead with the property, so that this name will not disappear. Today, you are all witnesses. And all the people and the elders and the employees of Amazon said, yeah, said we are witnesses, if you're reading from Ruth 4. Now, second act of generosity. We noted it, right? Listen to this. Are you ready for this? You're like, oh, please get somewhere. I'm ready. Listen to this. Boaz and Ruth became proud parents of a child named Obed. Okay, here's the happy Hollywood ending, right? So Ruth is now married to the regional manager for the distribution center of Amazon in that area. They have the land that she had wanted, plus some. They could build a house. She has an income. She's taking care of Naomi. They have a child of their own named Obed. That's great. Naomi's a grandparent. Somehow that makes life infinitely better from what I understand. But Obed, their child, Ruth and Boaz's child Obed, was the father of a feller named Jesse. Jesse was the father of a man who would be king named David. And way down in the lineage of David, did you know, came a person who would be known as Jesus the Christ. Fascinating. And God becomes the third act of generosity that we see. Ruth, when she had every reason to go, said, I'm going to stick with you, Naomi. I'm going to give up any chance that I have for restoring a life back home to take care of you. Boaz, while he had a good life of late dinners and sports center, was generous and not only took care of Ruth and Naomi, but eventually married them. God, continuing to bless the world, but certainly this family, in their lineage, sends Jesus Christ for all of us. Now, if you're thinking, that's all right and good, and thanks for the weird story, but what does that have to do with anything? Well, let me give you a couple of what that has to do with, okay? For one, it's as I said, generosity can shape our relationships with people. How do you feel when someone gives you a gift? Well, normally you're grateful. You feel a little bit fuzzy inside. Depending on what the gift is, you're overwhelmed by it. Typically, you receive a gift from someone you know well or even someone that loves you. How about when a gift is given to someone that you don't know well? How about when you get a gift from or give a gift to maybe even someone you disagree with? Well, that kind of kickstarts a relationship there, doesn't it? It at least disarms it. Last week, I challenged you, and I meant that challenge, to take the first step in moving towards someone else, maybe someone you're at odds with, maybe someone you need to forgive. You know, if you can't find a way, what a great way is, what a shocking and stunning way is, be generous to him somehow. Here's an illustration of how this looks in the real world. Very, very, very prominent church. This is an actual, real, honest to goodness, I didn't make this one up for the first time story, okay? Very prominent church in downtown Atlanta. Sets along the highway, large, classically decorated, stands out, Baptist church in Atlanta, Georgia. So it's well known. It has a large attendance. They've got the cross that, you know, down south, if you've seen Baptist churches, is probably 9,000 feet high by 50,000 feet wide. One of those. And the truth of it is, there was a gay pride parade that was going to march right past their church. The parade had, whatever, a 2-mile loop, and part of that loop went straight past the front doors of this church. Well, it disagreed with the stance of the church. And they're like, Pastor, what are we going to do? Again, I'm not making this up. True story. And the pastor was sweating it, and the parishioners were coming. They're like, this parade is going to pass our front doors, Pastor. What are we going to do? And the pastor said, well, I need to talk with, you know, my board members, and we're going to find out what the plan is. And he thought about it, and they said, you're going to have 50,000 people in this gay pride parade come and march in front of our church. And the pastor said, I've got it. We're in Atlanta, Georgia. This is the middle of summer, and they're passing past our church, and many of the church members are saying, let's make a statement. He said, I've heard you. We're going to make a statement. We're going to hand out waters to them when they come by. He never said, I approve of what you're doing, even though it disagrees with our values. He never said, I condemn you, and I want you to know that you're marching your way to hell. He never said, I don't like you, or I do like you. None of that. He looked past them, and he saw the people, and he thought, what would they need on this day? Anyone can use a bottle of water on a hot day in Atlanta. He chose generosity as a way of relating to them. This is also, by the way, the same thing that Jesus did, and it's so fascinating to me that Jesus came from this story, you know, way back in the lineage of generosity, because God looked at the world and said, the world is choosing their way every time. I give them the option, like the apple or follow me, they take the apple. I give them the option, be kind to one another or fight and kill, they fight and kill. I give them the option, and they choose themselves over me every time. And God looked at the world in that state and said, they're not choosing me. In fact, they're choosing other than me. In fact, the world seems to be saying, we dislike your rules, and thank you very much for what we have, but we dislike you, just give us more. And God said, well, I'll give them my son. And for all the wrongs that they've done, I'll allow him to be a sacrifice. And for all the ways that they haven't learned, I'll let him be their teacher. And God modeled this for us. God has always been and always will be extremely generous with us. And when I started this series, that was one of those Old Testament, pre-Jesus passages that I wanted to share with you, where God said, remember the foreigner among you and be generous with your enemies. And so I'm calling that to mind again today. When you're thinking of someone that has a different viewpoint from you, when you're thinking of someone that you've been locked in conflict with, when you're thinking of someone that you just don't want to have anything to do with because they aren't like you, how can God's generosity be modeled through you to help change the way that you relate to them? And just as a follow-up, so let me do this. If you don't regularly attend here, if you don't claim to be a follower of Christ, if this isn't the church that you're normally a part of, check out, zone out, and have fun doing it. For those of you that go to church here, for those of you that follow Jesus Christ, for those of you that say Dyer United Methodist Church is my home, I'm going the extra mile here. If God says we can be this generous with those that we don't know or those that are different from us, how much more should we be generous back to God within the church? How much more should we be willing to share and to give, especially when we say this is the community we belong to? Two levels, one for everybody. Jesus modeled generosity. Ruth and Naomi and Boaz showed us a great story of how to change relationships by being generous. Second level is, for those of you, again, that are followers of Christ, this is to be built in to who we are. How can you be generous with someone today? How will you be generous as a part of your discipleship to Jesus? Would you pray with me? Holy God, I know I don't often count or name as many as I should the ways that you have forgiven me and given to me. But I know, God, that I have so much. I know that I have so much that I don't deserve. God, I know there are people out there that are in need, but I also know there are people out there that need an act of kindness from me. God, help me to open my eyes to those that I think are my enemy and show me how maybe a simple act of generosity could help restore a relationship to them. But God, in all things, may I live the model that you taught us to live in Jesus Christ, in whose name I pray. Amen.